Meanwhile,
now Frank Sinatra says Rocky Fortune.
KMUZ Turner.
Note, please, Santa's Workshop and the Enchanted Igloo. This will be your post.
88.5 FM.
What do I do? Just keep an eye on the merchandise.
And 100.7 FM in Marion and Polk County.
The Adventures of the Saints, starring Vincent Price.
Salem and Kaiser.
There's something to be said for Santa Claus, too.
Taking over the entire planet.
It does go around filling stockings.
Yeah, I know a blonde. Shouldn't say that either, huh?
No.
At KMUZ.org.
Mid-Valley Mutations.
Welcome to the holiday season with Detectives for Christmas, featuring the voice work of Vincent Price and Frank Sinatra.
Now, here's the host of Mid-Valley Mutations, Austin Ridge.
Welcome to Mid-Valley Mutations here on KMUZ. And, you know, it's the holiday season. Holiday programming is in full effect. And we're bringing you Detectives for Christmas. That's right. You know, I wanted to bring you a lot more. You know, it's the holidays. Wanted to bring you guys some nice gifts and whatnot. But, you know, there's just a... There's only so many hours in the day, and so rather than really kind of go all nuts and bring you a bunch of complicated shows and whatnot, I thought I'd just bring you a couple of old-time radio classics. Now, up first, we're going to hear The Saint, program that the main character was Simon Templar. He kind of solved problems as they would arise, a little bit of a gentleman, as it were. And my favorite era is when it was portrayed by none other than Vincent Price. So let's hear an episode of The Saint from 1947, Christmas Eve. It's 19 Santa Clauses here on Mid-Valley Mutations.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as... The Saint.
Come in.
Hi, Mr. Templar.
Oh, hello, Louie.
Where are you?
I'm in my room. I'll be ready in a minute.
Hey, wait till you see my cap. I gave it a bat for Christmas.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to rush you, but if you don't hurry, Christmas Eve is going to be already Christmas morning. And what'll all them tots think?
Oh, them tots will be singularly fortunate. However, all I have to do now is get my whiskers on. There. How do I look?
Mr. Templar, if I didn't know you was Mr. Templar,
yeah,
I wouldn't know who you were.
Louis, don't I look like Santa Claus?
This may come as a surprise to you, Mr. Templar. Santa Claus is fat.
Oh.
You're not fat.
Oh. Well, hand me that cushion from the couch, huh?
Okay. Here.
Yeah, thank you. Now then. How's that?
Now say ho, ho, ho.
What for?
Santa Claus is always say ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I see. Ho, ho, ho.
Well, anyway, you look like Santa Claus.
Hey, Mr. Temple, whose idea was this?
Mrs. Winterbottom's.
Oh, the dame who annoys tots on Christmas Eve.
Mrs. Winterbottom is a very well-known philanthropist, and every Christmas Eve she collects hundreds of small children and feeds them.
Yeah. Who feeds them the rest of the year?
Don't be bitter, Louis.
Sorry.
At least I ought to give the little tots a laugh.
Yeah. And I suppose there is something to be said for Mrs. Winterbottom.
Don't say it now.
Don't worry.
There's something to be said for Santa Claus, too. He does go around filling stockings.
Yeah, I know a blonde. Shouldn't say that either, huh?
No. Someone at the door. Louis, would you mind?
It's probably one of them tots. Correction, it's a tot 20 years later.
Get in.
I'm already in.
Back up.
I'm backing up.
Thanks. Now reach, gents.
You know, that gun in her hand looks loaded.
Now that you mention...
Reach.
For what?
The chandelier.
You can't.
Why not?
No chandelier.
Oh, a wise guy, huh?
If you're going to shoot me, I insist on knowing your name.
Just call me Sally.
Sally. And your last name?
Never mind that. How would you like to get plugged in the...
Bread basket?
Where?
Oh, let's pass lightly over that. I wouldn't like to get plugged anywhere.
And shut up.
All right.
Where is it?
Right down the hall.
Are you trying to be smart?
Not especially.
So it's going to be like that, huh?
Like what?
Now you listen to me, Fats Boylan.
Huh?
You shut up, too.
I didn't say anything.
Well, shut up anyway.
I'm shutting up.
What was I saying?
You just finished calling me Fats Boylan.
That's right.
That's wrong. I'm not Fats Boylan.
Huh.
Well, it helps keep the conversation
going. Look, Fats, are you going to stop stalling and hand over the stuff, or will I have to shoot?
Since I am not Fats Boylan, and since I have no stuff to hand over, I'm afraid you'll have to shoot.
Mr. Templer, that could be fatal.
You keep quiet, punk.
Who's a punk?
You're a punk.
Mr. Templer, am I a punk?
Well, Sally is just a little confused this evening,
confused
Louis.
Confused or not, she shouldn't call me a...
Shut up!
You know, you don't have to start bawling.
I am not... bawling. I
You were just about to shoot me.
Well, I know, but then you'd bleed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't stand the sight of blood.
Why don't you strangle him?
Louis, don't be unkind. It seems to be the doorbell again.
No, wait.
Oh, it's very impolite to keep people waiting.
But I must have been followed here.
Sally, look, stop illustrating a point with that gun. It might go off.
I don't care.
But then I'd bleed.
But where can I go? I've got to hide.
Well, try the kitchen.
All right.
Oh, come on in. It's open house tonight.
Well, well, my old pal, Fats.
I am not.
Boylan.
Although I'm beginning to waver. Perhaps I am. Simon, the split personality. Who are you?
Joe Hudson. You remember your old pal, Hudson.
Hudson, Well, I must admit you look like a hornet, but your lines aren't as nice. Look, if I'm your old pal, why don't I know you?
Oh, that's easy. We never met personally.
Well, how else can you meet? Ignore that. But if we haven't met personally or otherwise, how can I be your pal?
Oh, I was just being friendly. Besides, hey, you got something for me.
I have?
Oh, great little kidder, ain't you, Fats? Ain't he, pal?
Now I feel better. I'm a pal, too.
Look, I wish I deserved your delighted choice.
Look, just leave me have the stuff, and then I'll get...
Stuff again. What stuff?
Am I going to have trouble with you?
The door behind you is open. Why don't you use it, huh? In that way, nobody will have any trouble.
I'll use it. I'll use it after.
After what?
Such like that, huh? Ever see one of these before?
I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you, but the answer is yes, I have.
Good, good. And you know how it works. It shoots bullets at guys. Guys who get bullet shot at them have a habit of dying.
Really? Well, then perhaps you'd better not shoot that gun at me.
I won't. So gimme.
So I ain't got. Well, that is, I...
That is, you ain't got.
Thanks, Louis.
Basic, I ain't a patient man. Hand the stuff over, or
I don't have any stuff.
Or you get shot.
I'd bleed.
Who cares?
I do. I hoped you might. However,
this could be a stall. This could be trouble, so you...
You can't shoot him.
Why not?
It's against the law. I read it in the papers. It's against the law?
Yeah, I believe you.
Oh, well, so that's okay.
Yeah, but I like doing things against the law.
Oh, well, you could go to jail.
I already been there.
Well, for shooting somebody, they'll hang you or something.
If somebody told them.
Well, I would.
You would, huh?
I would.
So maybe I'd better shoot you first.
Well, I wouldn't want to deprive Mr. Templer of the privilege.
Well, Fats, it's your last chance.
Oh, not that phrase. Also, I still don't know...
So it looks like I'm going to break a law.
Hey, who did that? You did, you dope.
I did not. This here's a plan.
but you won't get away with it.
Goodbye, Mr. Hudson.
Mr. Templer, who made with the artillery?
It must have been Sally. She's in the kitchen.
She can stay there.
She saved our lives, Louis.
Yeah, but maybe by now she's found out she likes to shoot guns.
Well, let's hope not.
Hello.
It was nice of you to frighten Mr. Hudson off.
I did?
You did.
I didn't hit anybody?
No.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Hey, I've got her.
She's out cold.
Come on, I'll put her on the couch. Yeah. Come on.
It's a little late, but somebody ought to mention she is not a bad-looking dish.
You've mentioned it.
Looking for smelling salts in her bag?
No, identification. Here's a driver's license. Her name is Sally Walters. Address, 49 Arden Drive. Social security card. She's the secretary.
That's what I need. Take it back.
She's coming, too. Better put the bag back.
Yeah, but keep the gun, though. There's still some bullets in it.
No, we don't want her to know we went through her bag.
We're ashamed of ourselves?
We're going to pay her a visit.
She ain't home.
But she will be after she leaves here, and then perhaps we can find out what keeps the home fires burning.
Was in kind of a hurry leaving us.
So she was.
Mr. Templer, don't look right, Santa Claus chasing a blonde.
I'm not chasing her.
Technicalities will get you no place. Hey, this must be it. 49. What is she a secretary of? The Treasury?
Well, I suspect this is where she works, Louis.
She works overtime, huh?
Yeah, and probably sleeps in. Come on.
Yeah. I hope that nobody is peeking because they'll think Santa Claus is off schedule.
I think perhaps I can manage without the whiskers.
Yeah.
Ouch!
Now you look like an imposter.
Yeah. Will you ring, Louie?
Okay. You know, this is the type house. I got a feeling Santa Claus would have to use the servants' entrance.
Yes.
I'm Simon Templer.
You are?
I am.
There's nothing I can do about it.
Mr. Templer, all butlers are like him?
I doubt it. I think he's been practicing.
Haw.
Haw.
Well, good night, then.
I think not.
Would you mind removing your shoe from the door?
I would.
You might at least have shined it.
Humphrey, whoever is it at this time of night?
No one, madam.
Oh, but such an interesting-looking no one. Santa Claus, you've lost your whiskers.
I haven't. They're right here in my pocket.
How nice.
Actually, my name is Simon Templer.
I'm Carla Worth.
This is Louis.
Hi. Oh, I mean...
Hi.
Be kind to the peasants type.
Did you want to see me?
Now that I've seen you, yes.
Well, come in then.
Thank you.
But, madam...
Humphrey, go away.
Yes, madam.
Humphrey's such a problem sometimes. Shall we? Nice?
Yeah. Fire in the fireplace, books on the bookshelves, port in that decanter.
Yes, would you like some?
No, thank you. I just wanted to be sure the accessories were all correct. Someday, maybe I'll find some other wine besides port in the decanter. I dream.
Simon, are you the one who found them?
It's beginning again.
Found what?
My jewels, of course.
Have they been lost?
Simon, they were stolen. You know that, don't you?
Should I?
I've heard of the saint, Simon. I didn't know he was also a Santa Claus.
Oh, it's a fleeting impulse. When were your jewels stolen?
This afternoon. You see, Claude, my husband, that is, bought me them for Christmas.
Santa Claude.
Louis.
Sorry.
We decided to have the party this afternoon. We thought it'd be nice to have a quiet eve, so we did. The jewels were in quite a large box. There were quite a lot of them.
And?
Claude had hired a Santa Claus, but before the party was over, Santa Claus had disappeared. So had the jewels.
Well, there must have been some precautions.
Oh, there were several detectives. But the Santa Claus said he was going out to get some air while the party was on. He never came back. But he didn't have the jewels on him. The box was locked, and it was too large for the detectives not to have noticed.
I see. The name of the man hired to play Santa Claus was, of course,
Fats Portman. And who may you be?
Claude, this is Simon Templer. Louis.
I know neither of them. Snoops, obviously. Get rid of them.
Claude likes to behave as though he were an emperor on occasion.
The box wasn't found anywhere in the house?
The jewel box, no.
The jewels were insured?
Naturally. It's none of your affair. I shall speak severely to Humphrey. They should never have let you in.
I let them in, darling.
So now he's going to speak severely to her?
We'll go quietly, except, Mr. Worth, what is Fats Boylan's address?
I have no idea.
Good night.
Good night, Simon, and I'm sorry.
So am I.
I'll show you out.
Thank you.
Wow, 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 wow.
Pronounced Carla Worth.
Yeah. What do we do now, Santa Claus?
We get into your nice, clean cab and... Hey, wait a minute, Louie. Now we're going to find out what became of Sally.
Simon.
Well, good evening, Sally.
I overheard. Fat's address is 17 Beale Street.
17 Beale.
Yes, I've got to get right back to the house before anybody notices. Goodbye.
An awful short visit.
But long enough.
Now we're going to visit Mr. Boylan?
I think so.
I hope he ain't so handy with a gun as the rest of these characters.
Maybe. He may not be.
Now I'm all cheered up.
But there's one thing I'm sure he isn't.
What's that?
Fat.
Quite a change from the Waits dump. Now this is a dump.
Yeah, and Mr. Boylan would seem to be shy.
Mr. Templer, you said something about the one thing he wouldn't be was fat. Why, because he was called Fats?
Not exactly. Louis, I'm worried.
Hey, the door was open.
Yes.
Maybe that means our bird has flown?
Maybe. Come on, let's go in.
Okay. I ain't usually so poetical, but the light's on.
Yes.
And the room looks funny. Looks like a hurricane came to stay for dinner.
And remained for 6 months.
Somebody was looking for a jewel box?
And someone obviously didn't find it. The extent of the search indicates that. Nothing was left untouched.
It's a funny smell in this room, you know. A couple of funny smells.
Yeah. One's perfume and the other...
Gunpowder.
Huh? Gunpowder.
That's why I ain't been looking behind any pieces of furniture.
Well, it really wasn't very far to look, Louis.
Huh?
He's behind the day bed.
Fats?
Fats, Louis.
He ain't doing so good?
He's dead. And Louis...
Yeah?
He wasn't fat.
Mr. Templer?
Yes, Louis?
We're being followed.
Since
we got out of Boylan's place.
Oh, that's interesting. Louis, stop the cab.
That'll make it easier for whoever's following us.
Exactly what I want.
Even on Christmas Eve, this shouldn't happen. Now what?
We get out. Don't look behind you. Start walking.
Yeah. Here is a nice, lonely street.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is home hanging up stockings. I wouldn't mind hanging up stockings myself. I Who do you think it is?
I think it's our friend Hudson.
Oh, I just lost 5 pounds. You mean the guy that was chasing Sally, who was all ready to shoot us until she made the explosion?
Neat reminder.
Oh, you think he wants our money or our life?
Possibly.
What kind of an answer is that?
In here, quickly.
Here. Mr. Templer, this here alley is full of garbage cans.
Also dark.
You don't have to see garbage cans to know they're around. Hudson?
Yes. Good evening, Hudson.
What?
Don't turn around. I've got a gun on you.
Hey, I don't like it.
Louis, take Mr. Hudson's gun away from him.
Okay. I've got it, Mr. Templer.
Good. Aim it at him.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You can't shoot me with my own gun.
Why not?
That ain't tactful.
What other gun could I shoot you with?
Your own. Hey, you mean you ain't got a... Oh, mister, you are a liar.
And on Christmas Eve, too. Hudson, who hired you to follow Sally and me?
It was my own idea.
Louis, Mr. Hudson isn't being friendly.
He ain't, huh?
He ain't. Therefore...
Hey, now, don't lose your heads, fellas.
We've lost patience with him, Louis.
We have?
Shoot him, Louis. He's beginning to bore me.
He's beginning to... I should shoot him?
Yes.
Fatal?
Fatal.
Okay. Except I don't know what my wife and 6 kids are going to say.
You haven't got a wife and 6 kids.
No, wait a minute, please.
Louis, we're being cruel, prolonging Mr. Hudson's agony. Put him out of it.
Now, wait a minute.
Who hired you?
Mrs. Worth. Mrs. Carla Worth.
You quite sure?
Strike me dead. That is, don't strike me dead. Look, if she didn't, why would I say she did?
You have a point there. But why should she have wanted you to follow Sally?
Well, she had an idea. Her husband and Sally were kind of,
Decorating their own little tree together. Hmm?
I couldn't put it more tactfully.
Oh, I see. So if you got enough divorce evidence, Mrs. Worth could hold up her husband for plenty of alimony.
No.
No?
Oh, Mrs. Worth is the babe with the dough. Mr. Worth is a very well-educated bum.
Indeed. Huh? It's interesting. Louis, let me have the gun.
Yeah, here.
Wait, I thought I just told you the truth.
I'm sure you did.
No. Mr. Templer, that's gratitude?
It's necessity.
Oh.
We need him out of the way for a little while. He's out of the way. Now,
Yeah?
Now we're going to find out who else knew that Fats Boylan was thin.
You know, if we visit it often enough, I might even get accustomed to this joint.
You might also start confusing yourself with Grant. good evening, Humphrey.
I'm sorry the family retired for the night.
Well, it is late, I know.
I wish to retire myself.
Why, Humphrey, you don't look 65.
Good night, sir.
Aren't you going to ask us in?
No.
Why, Humphrey, I thought you and I were going to sing Christmas carols together.
Let go of me.
Shut the door, Louis.
Okay.
I shall complain.
All right, but not now.
Mr. Templer, I'm going to wear that gun out, hitting people over the head with it.
And I couldn't have him warn anyone we're here.
Why, we got to burgle the joint?
In a way.
Huh?
And a kinder description would be search the place, Louis.
Oh, for what?
Oddly enough, something that can't be seen or touched.
Sounds like a ghost.
Yes, and in a way it is. The ghost of a murderer.
It's the night before Christmas, all right, but a creature is stirring. A couple of creatures, us.
Yeah, we've covered all the rooms on the other landing. Therefore, the bedroom should be here. And therefore, this should be someone's bedroom. Let's go in.
We're sleepy?
Now, if I can open the door softly enough and look in. Mm-hmm. Moonlight through the window. Yes. The dressing room. Door beyond would be the bedroom proper.
Proper is not a word we're in any position to throw around.
We'll have to go in to the dressing room. Come on, Louis.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Louis.
Hmm?
Inhale.
Mr. Temple, I don't usually take breathing exercises in the middle of the night.
Louis.
All right. I'm inhaling.
Well?
Perfume.
Mm-hmm. Familiar?
I could learn to love it, but no.
Mm. Well, then out we go.
You didn't care for that perfume?
It didn't tell me anything.
What do you want perfume should tell you?
Who killed Fats Boylan?
Another bedroom. We go in?
Naturally.
For a bachelor, that ain't the word you should have used. I'm beginning to get worried about this. Supposing somebody screams.
Pull yourself together, Louis.
Okay. After all, like the poet says, strong heart never won fair maiden.
You mean faint heart.
All right, so for dinner I'll eat dog food.
Now. Another dressing room. Well?
Hey, Mr. Templer.
Yes. The same perfume we noticed. Uh-oh. Don't be frightened.
Why, Simon, what are you doing in here?
Louis and I have been testing perfumes.
It's the middle of the night. You're waking me.
I'm sorry. I'm even sorrier about something else.
What's that?
The perfume you use is very distinctive, Sally.
Am I supposed to say thanks?
No. Because the last place Louis and I noticed it was in Fats Boylan's room. Minutes after he'd been killed.
Oh.
Not good, Sally.
You're making all this up, or...
No. This bottle of perfume will be evidence.
But I didn't kill Boylan. You must be joking about that.
I don't think a jury would find it funny. You knew about Boylan stealing the jewels. You must have helped him.
I didn't.
But then you found yourself being trailed by Hudson, who'd been hired by Mrs. Worth. You were afraid he'd discover the connection between you and Boylan. That's why you came to my apartment.
No.
Oh, yes. You hoped I'd throw Hudson off, perhaps frighten him. In the meanwhile, you could get to Boylan, get the jewels from him.
That isn't true.
But when you got to Boylan's place, you found him already dead. And the jewel's gone.
I didn't.
It would be much better for you that way.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't be liable to a first-degree murder charge.
But there were detectives here while the party was going on. Boylan couldn't have stolen the jewels. They saw him leave. He didn't have them.
He did have them. He was playing Santa Claus, and he was a thin man. Santa Clauses, as Louis pointed out to me earlier tonight, are fat. Therefore, Boylan entered this house wearing padding underneath his costume. He left it with a large jewel box in place of the padding. That's how he did it, Sally.
You're smart.
You found Boylan. You knew his address. Therefore, you'd hired him in the first place. And therefore, also, a jury would believe you'd killed him unless you tell us who did.
Well, all right. I'll tell you...
Really no need, my dear.
Oh, Claude.
Hey, Mr. Templer, tell him to point the gun someplace else.
Mr. Worth, point that gun someplace else.
I prefer this direction. You were saying, Mr. Templer, about the jewels.
The jewels were insured. Therefore, you, Mr. Worth, arranged to have them stolen.
Indeed.
Indeed. In that way, you could retain the jewels, the insurance money as well, and not worry very much whether or not your wife divorced you. Clever.
Boylan is dead.
How true. You had to see to that, didn't you? Otherwise, he might have blackmailed you for the rest of your life, or for whatever money you got out of the entire crooked deal.
I can see two other deaths. Yours, your friend.
And Sally? You going to kill her, too?
That depends, I should think, on Sally.
Claude, I never knew you intended to kill anyone.
There's no need to play the ingenue quite so strenuously, my dear. You were in on most of it.
But not murder.
I'm afraid Mr. Templer's pessimism is justified. I shall have to include you. But however did you get on to her, Templer?
Her perfume. To be precise, this perfume.
Well, you got him in the eye.
Yeah, I hope this gets him someplace more effective.
Mr. Templer, the trail of unconscious bodies you're leaving behind you tonight, if laid end to end...
Yes, Louis?
...would look terrible.
Simon.
Yes, Carla?
You've been very sweet. Even without your whiskers, you've been sort of a Santa Claus to me. May I?
Oh, with pleasure.
Well... I never knew Santa Claus could kiss like that.
Santa Claus is no saint.
Yes?
Oh. Hello, Louis.
Mr. Templer, you better put on your whiskers. You've forgotten all about Mrs. Winterbottom?
Mrs. Well, the hour is past midnight. The tots have undoubtedly tottered off to bed by now. Louis, you may tell Mrs. Winterbottom...
I know. That the saint ain't no Santa Claus.
This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of the saint. Good night.
Adventure of the Saint was written by Louis Vittes. Our cast included Mary Shipp as Sally and Betty Lou Gerson as Carla. High Everback was Hudson, Ted Osborne, Claude. The butler, Stanley Farrar. Louis is played by Larry Dotkin. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
Happy holidays, happy listening. Happy holiday, happy listening. NBC wishes you a season of good cheer. A merry, merry Christmas and a happier new year.
That was The Saint. Some old-time radio magic with Vincent Price and Lawrence Dobkin as Simon Templar and Louis solving some holiday mysteries. Stay tuned. We got all sorts of fun stuff coming your way with a story by Frank Sinatra. Next.
Fred Meyer donates $2.5 million per year to nonprofits in the Pacific Northwest. If you shop at Fred Meyer, you can help KMUZ. If you have been supporting KMUZ through the Community Rewards Program, you need to re-enroll because Fred Meyer reorganized the program.
To enroll, link your Fred Meyer Rewards card to KMUZ Community Radio. Go to fredmeyer.com/community rewards. You can search for KMUZ there. Then, every time you use your rewards card, you help KMUZ earn a donation. And you still earn your rewards points, fuel points, and rebates. Rewards cards are available at the customer service desk of any Fred Meyer store.
For more information about supporting KMUZ through this program, see fredmeyer.com/community rewards.
Welcome to the holiday season.
Mid-Valley.
With Detectives for Christmas.
Mutations.
Featuring the voice work of Vincent Price and Frank Sinatra.
This is the Mid-Valley Mutations Weather Computer, and here is a look at the local weather, brought to you by Troll, the ancient Yuletide carol. He's back, with a vengeance. La 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 la, la la, la, la. Tonight, a steady rain this evening. Showers continuing overnight. You'll be squeaky clean by morning, hee hee. Okay, maybe it wasn't that funny. Low around 40 degrees. Winds south by southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. Sunrise at 7:39 a.m. By that time, I've been awake for hours. Mostly because I never sleep. Tomorrow, rain showers in the morning will evolve into a more steady rain in the afternoon. But, like evolution, this is merely a theory. High of 47 degrees. Winds south by southwest at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Chance of rain 90%. That's almost like a guarantee. Sunset at 4:30 p.m., well before you can really make a good dent in the chores you had planned. And that was a look at the local weather, brought to you by the Weather Computer, and Parson Brown, the anthropomorphic snowman. Suddenly, his interest in your status as a married person seems very, very suspicious. Fa la 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 la, la la, la, la. Now, back to Mid-Valley Mutations.
Thank you, Weather Computer. And yeah, we're bringing you some holiday programming. Detectives for Christmas. Some old-time radio holiday tales that have a little bit of a Yuletide theme to them. And we just heard an episode of The Saint, from December 24th, 1947. But we're moving forward in time a little bit. This is an episode of Rocky Fortune, starring none other than Frank Sinatra, from December 22nd, 1953. Keep listening. It's Mid-Valley Mutations.
Now, Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. NBC presents Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
Did I ever tell you about the time I got mixed up in a plot to murder Santa Claus? Yeah. It all started when I answered a Christmas ad for a department store. The ad said, young man of good character is auxiliary store detective and other duties, 2-week employment. So, next day, I am an auxiliary shamus for Crockett Bomb's department store. Kind of a high-class Fifth Avenue dispensary where for only 50 bucks you can buy your girl a mink toothbrush. And for an extra $5,000, you can get her a coat to match.
This way, Mr.
Fortune, Rocky Fortune, Mr. Prim.
Yes. This is fifth floor, children's toys. Note, please, Santa's workshop and the enchanted igloo. This will be your post.
What do I do?
Just keep an eye on the merchandise. Quackenbaum's has had a good deal of shoplifting recently.
Yeah, especially in the jewelry department, eh?
We don't like to talk about that, Mr. Fortune.
Mister, it's been on the front page of all the newspapers for a week. $8,000 worth of pearls.
Wow. The thief will be apprehended in good time, have no fear. Well, I must get back to my office.
Just a minute, Mr. Prim.
Yes?
What happens if I see a gunner?
A what?
A lifter, a thief.
Apprehend the criminal with the merchandise and bring both to my office behind the elevators. The name Lysander Prim is on the door.
Check.
Oh, and one other thing.
Yeah?
At lunch hour, you will relieve Santa Claus.
You mean put on a beard and everything?
Oh, it's just for half an hour. As a matter of fact, you start in exactly 5 minutes.
I'm not exactly built for this.
Neither is our present Santa. They're running thin this year. Just ask Big Elf to help stuff you.
Big Elf?
Santa's helper. The large fellow in the elf suit.
Oh, sure.
Good luck, Mr. Fortune. The honor of Quackenbaum's is in your hands.
At $44.50 a week, Mr. Quackenbaum is getting a bargain. Big Elf, whose name is Marty, weighs about 250. He helps me into Santa's suit, and I take over inside the magic igloo while Santa goes out for some chowder. I embarrass a couple of mothers by promising everything the kids ask for, and I'm really living it up, having the time of my life when a little girl about six comes in all by herself. She's a pretty little thing, too, with blue eyes and freckles. On one leg is a light steel brace. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all, and that's what I want for Christmas. Well, hello, honey. You here all alone?
Yes, sir.
Well, what can I do for you?
I have a note for you.
A letter for old Santa, huh? Ho, ho, let's have a look. Dear Santa, you know what we want for Christmas. We better get it or you'll never live to make those Christmas Eve deliveries. Signed, you know who. Well, well, did you write this letter yourself, honey?
No, sir. A man gave it to me.
What did he look like?
A big man with a black mustache. He gave me a nickel, too.
Heavy spender, huh? Honey, what's your name?
Gail. Gail Grayson.
And what would you like Santa to bring you for Christmas, Gail?
I'd like your elf.
You mean Big Bonehead out there?
Oh, no. Not the man in the elf suit. I mean the elf doll. The one with the red silk suit and the green hat.
Oh, well, that's pretty expensive, honey. Maybe your mommy and daddy can't afford it.
I don't have any mommy and daddy.
Oh. Well, you leave your name and address with Santa, and I'll see if we can't arrange for something. It might not be that same doll, but...
That's the one I want.
Yeah, I can see that. Well, look, Gail.
Gail!
Gail, there you are. I told you to wait outside the man's office.
I wanted to talk to Santa about getting that elf doll.
Honey, I told you that doll cost too much.
Santa says maybe he can arrange something.
Santa's wrong. Look, mister, I've just been seeing a man about trying to get a job in this place so we can afford to eat. I don't have money for expensive dolls.
Well, I'm sorry, miss. I just...
Well, you've no business building up false hopes in children. They put so much faith in this.
Well, if you'd just let me explain them.
Come around and explain Christmas Eve if you can.
Well, I'd like to, but I don't even know your name.
This is my sister, Laura. And we live at 65 Bleakman Street, 5 flights up Santa...
Gail, for heaven's sake. Come along.
You won't forget the doll, will you, Santa? Please, please don't forget. Please.
Lose a customer, Jack?
I'm afraid I lost a friend, too.
Cheer up. Maybe you won't live long, then you won't need a friend.
Why don't you just stick to being a big elf, huh, Marty?
Don't be a wise guy, Fortune.
Me? I'm never a smart aleck. By the way, how do they spell elf? O-A-F? After lunch, the real make-believe Santa Claus comes back, and I turn over the suit, beard, and stuffing. I'm glad to get back to being a store detective. A big elf is no pleasure to work with. I keep thinking of little Gail. Well, let's face it, I keep thinking of her big sister, who's got eyes like Dresden china and a figure like a Lamarge teapot. I wonder if I'm ever going to see her again. I don't have to wonder long, because right away things begin to happen.
Help! Stop these! Santa! Santa!
All right, hold it.
Oh, let me go.
Take it easy. Well, Laura Grayson.
Who are you?
Santa Claus, remember? My name is Rocky Fortune. I'm also the store dick in this department.
Oh, Mr. Fortune, please. I don't know why I took it.
Well, let's see what we've got here.
It's the elf doll, the one Gail wanted.
Oh, baby, if you're going to shoplift a doll, they got better ways worked out than just pick it up and run with it.
I had to take it. I couldn't disappoint her. I couldn't.
Yeah, I guess it was partly my fault.
I suppose you'll turn me over to the police now.
Well, hold it. Lady, this ain't for general publication. Between you and me, I'm the world's worst toy store detective. Too much larceny in my blood. So I'll just turn around for 20 or 30 minutes, and if you're not gone when I turn back, I'm going to put the pinch on you.
You're letting me go?
Please, let's not be vulgar.
Well, thank you, Rocky.
Hey.
What?
You forgot the doll.
But...
I was going to buy it for her anyway. Besides, I get it for only $3 because it's a display model. Now beat it.
Oh, Rocky, I could kiss you.
Go ahead.
I will. Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year to you. Wow. Kid slips down the stairway with the elf doll, and I am still wearing a lipstick on my cheek when Mr. Prim boils over. He looks so much like a clothing store dummy, you expect to find a price tag on him. Right behind him is Marty, the big oaf elf.
Mr. Fortune.
Oh, hi.
Where is she?
Where is who? Whom? He.
The dame who stole the doll from Santa's workshop.
Oh, you are a little elf, aren't you?
Mr. Marty here tells me he saw you catch her. Where is she?
Overpowered me. She must be a lady wrestler or something.
Mr. Fortune.
Tell you what, though, Mr. Prim, just to make everything okay, I'll pay for the doll.
What?
No kidding. You see, I know the young lady, and I was going to buy it for her anyway, so I...
Well, this is highly irregular.
Oh, come on, Mr. Prim. Think of how proud Mr. Quackenbaum will be when you tell him you unloaded that shop-worn display model, huh?
Well, it's highly irregular, but go ahead. The sales clerk will make out the proper form.
Well, thanks, Mr. Prim. I'll do that.
Hey, Fortune.
Yeah?
What was the dame's name?
What's it to you?
Just curious, you know?
I know. Stay just as you are. After closing time, I go into the employee's dressing room for a quick wash-up and a change of linen. The place empties out when my pal, the store Santa, flaps in after a hard day at the igloo. He takes off his red suit, and I see he's built like a Japanese wrestler with a nose like Rudolph the Reindeer, only it ain't from drinking melted snow.
Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, Herm. Looks as if the detectives and the Santa Clauses are the late workers in this department, huh?
Yeah, just you and me now.
Just you, Santa. I'm blowing right now.
Just a minute.
Yeah?
That girl who stole the elf doll.
What about her?
Mr. Prim mentioned that you know her.
So?
I'd like to know her name.
You're the second guy in a half an hour. What is this?
Just what I said, Fortune. What's her name and where does she live?
Look, I know you've been making a list and checking it twice, Uncle, but just why do you want to know?
I had my eye on that elf doll myself, for my kid. I'd like to get it for her.
They got brand new ones in stock.
I'm interested in that one. So the name, huh?
Sorry, Uncle.
Fortune, maybe I don't make myself clear. I want that girl's name and address. I want it very bad.
You know you shouldn't use that tone of voice. You don't sound like you got the holiday spirit.
I'm going to use more than a tone of voice if you don't unclaim.
Sorry, Sam.
Okay, Fortune.
Okay, Mom. You want to fight?
What's her name?
Why, you punk, I'll bust you. Gentlemen, please, just what is going on here? Well?
Let Samson here tell you.
I was just showing Mr. Fortune here a couple of judo holds that might come in handy next time a young girl overpowers him.
This is not a gymnasium, gentlemen. I'll thank you to leave and report back promptly tomorrow morning. Good evening.
I manage to stagger out of my own power and head back to my flat. I figure I'll have some supper and then locate Laura Grayson for another look at that elf doll that everybody wants to get his hands on. Also, for another look at Laura Grayson. Yeah. I stop to line my flu at a local cafeteria and go up to the flat. I walk in like I live there, which I do, and discover I have guests.
Hello, Rocky.
Well, Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake with poison in it.
A cake with a file in it would be more useful where you're going, Rocky, my old pal.
You are referring to the House of Detention?
The same.
Well, sir, if my days as a process server serve me correctly, they make mention of a thing titled due process, which means you don't arrest a guy without you can make some kind of charge, right?
Right.
So?
So we would like to revolve the wheel of our conversation around the axle of your understanding down at the Irish clubhouse.
Concerning?
Concerning a murder.
You said a murder?
Yeah.
Who?
Rocky. This is going to come as a shock to a naive young boy like yourself. But there ain't no Santa Claus.
How come?
How come? Because somebody stuck a knife in him. He's laying on his face over in Quackenbaum's department store. Let's go.
I spent the next few hours as a guest of the city, in the squad room, or sweat box, as it is affectionately remembered by inmates of various steel academies in this state. And mine host, the Sergeant Finger.
All right! Now for the last time. You had an argument with him, right?
He had one with me.
Okay. He socked you.
Yes.
You socked him.
Right.
You got interrupted.
Right.
You left.
Right.
Then you come back and stabbed him.
Wrong.
Okay, okay. Let's have your story.
Somebody was after him, Sarge. I got a threatening note that was supposed to go to him.
Where is it?
Here.
This is kid stuff.
You ever hear of a kid threatening Santa Claus? Come on,
okay,
Sarge.
Okay. So it ain't kid stuff. Who sent it and why?
That's what the taxpayers hire you to figure out. Maybe it's got some connection with a jewel robbery.
What do you know about the jewel robbery?
Just what I read in the papers. Somebody snatched $8,000 worth of pearls.
You, maybe?
Don't be ridiculous. I wasn't even working there when it happened.
What makes you think it was an inside job?
The newspapers. They got the opinion from the police. You familiar with this organization?
Don't get funny.
Did it ever occur to you that maybe Santa Claus was in on that jewel job?
As a matter of fact, Rocky, the guy in that Santa Claus suit has a record as long as your arm. Only one thing is wrong.
Yeah?
We can't arrest him for his own murder.
So why pin it on me?
You're available. Also, whoever stabbed him was in on the inside. It happened after the store closed. Also, there's $8,000 worth of pearls floating around someplace and a reward for $1,000 to whoever finds him.
No kidding.
Yeah, you want to claim it? All you have to do is confess you killed a guy, turn in the pearls, collect the reward...
And go to the chair. I'll tell you what, Sarge. You do me a favor and I'll confess to the murder. The jewel robbery and all of the other old crimes you're too stupid to solve.
What's the favor?
Drop dead.
Rocky, someday, pow! Right in the toy department.
Come on, Finger. You know as well as I do I couldn't have done it.
What makes you think so?
That note the lieutenant handed you a few minutes ago. You checked my alibi and I was feeding my face in the cafeteria when he got stabbed. So stop giving me the needle and let me go home.
Fortune, someday...
I know. Pow! Can I go now?
Don't you like it here?
It's great, but I got a date with a doll. Finger turns me loose and I jockey my way right down to Laura Grayson's apartment in the cheap village flat. It's about 9 p.m. when I get my finger on the doorbell.
Just a moment. Rocky.
Hi. Can I come in a minute?
Of course.
Where is Gail?
Sleep. I hope so, anyway.
Listen, honey, I have to ask you something.
Well?
Have you got the doll?
Of course. Gail's so happy about it, she's ready to fly.
Look, I'll have to ask you for it back.
You what?
Well, I'll get another one to replace it. A brand new one, really. But right now, I gotta have that one.
Sure, Rocky. Sure.
It sounds kind of funny, and I can't explain it now, but you tell a kid I'll get her another one, huh?
It isn't necessary, Rocky. Wait a minute, I'll get it for you. Here.
Well, thanks. I have to get back to the store. I'll call you tomorrow, maybe for dinner, huh?
Uh-huh.
Good night, Laura.
Good night, Rocky.
I knew what she was thinking, so I didn't try to make any excuses. I just took the doll and headed back to my flat to take a look inside. It was as empty as an eggshell in a fox farm. I was just reaching for the phone when it rang. Hello?
Rocky?
Yeah.
But this is Laura. Rocky, something terrible's happened.
What's wrong? What's the matter?
Well, just after you left, a man came. A big man with a black mustache, and he asked for the doll. Said he was from the department store police. I told him you'd taken it back to the store, and he left.
Well, what's so terrible?
Well, he must have awakened Gail and she overheard it. Anyway, when I went into her room just now, she was gone. Rocky, I don't know what to do.
She heard you say I was taking a doll to the store?
Yes.
Maybe she's on her way over there now to try to get the doll back.
At this hour?
Honey, 6-year-old kids don't know from the wages and hours law. Look, I'll take a run over there just in case she shows up. You notify the police and meet me. I stuff the kids down in my overcoat pocket and flag a cab over to Quackenbaum's department store. There's no sign of the kid out front, so I leg it around to the delivery entrance. No sign. I decide to check inside and show my pass to the night watchman at the entrance.
Hold it, mister.
Hiya, Pop. I work here.
Let's see your card.
Here, right here.
Storjik, huh?
That's right, Pop. Now, listen, I'm looking for a little girl about 7 years old. Wears a brace on one foot. You seen her?
What would a kid like that be doing here after hours?
Her mother thinks she got lost in the store.
Oh. Well, I only been on a couple of minutes. I ain't seen her.
I'm going up to check the toy department on 5. You keep an eye out, will you? If she comes along, send her up to 5. I'll be waiting.
Okay. I'll keep watch, Fair.
Thanks. I go up to the toy department. In the darkness, it looks as eerie as a graveyard on Halloween. I figure maybe Gail managed to slip in past the watchman, so I give a yell. Gail! I'm going to scare myself to death. What's that?
Nobody here but us toys, boss. Get them up, Fortune.
I assume that ain't a lollipop stick in my spine.
That's right, smart boy. Step over here in the light.
So what do I owe the pleasure?
Just a little shopping trip. I'm looking for a doll.
You don't say.
I do. So hand it over.
Help yourself. It's in the coat pocket.
Toss it here.
There.
Now stand still while I have a look inside. Okay, wise guy, where's the stuff?
Stuff?
Don't play dumb. With $8,000 worth of pearls from last week's job inside this doll, where are they?
Search me, pal. Maybe you got the wrong doll.
I got the right doll, Buster.
What makes you so sure?
Santa Claus told me. Before he died.
Looks like you and Santa Claus were in on that robbery.
That's what I thought. Until he tried to double-cross me.
What happened?
I heisted this stuff and gave it to Santa Claus to hide. He hid it so good I couldn't find it. He wasn't going to tell me where it was until I gave him more than half. Only I changed his mind for him.
Yeah, with a 4-inch blade.
Uh-huh. You should be a store detective. You're real smart.
I take it the stuff was in the doll.
That's right, Rocky. Only it ain't there now. And you had that doll.
Which means?
Unless you unclam, I may have to give you the same treatment I gave Santa Claus.
I'm telling you, the pearls were gone when I got that doll home.
And I'm telling you, if they were gone, it's because you took them.
I don't have them. Sue me.
Rocky, old man, it's Christmas time and goodwill to men and all that, and I hate to knock off two guys in the same day. But if you don't spill them pearls in 5 seconds, I'm going to put lead in your brain. Now, where are they?
I don't know.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Rocky.
What the...
Gail, hi.
I'm back here, Fortune.
Here's a football for Christmas, boy. I let Big Elf have it in a puss with a football from the toy counter and grab the kid. We duck into the maze of counters and crawl along until we get behind some packing crates. Marty's cursing and looking for us, and he's still got a gun, too.
Rocky, I had to find you. I wanted to...
Shh. Don't let him hear us. Crawl into this packing case.
Rocky, I'm scared.
Do as I say.
Okay, Rocky.
Fortune! It's no use, Fortune. I'm going to find you, and when I do... Come on out, Fortune! Come on out!
I'm scared.
So am I, kid. We gotta do something. Let's see what they got in these boxes. Mighty Mike mechanical police car. Oh, there's a big help. Hey!
What?
Let me have one of those.
Here. What are you gonna do, Rocky?
You'll see.
I'm coming, Fortune.
Look out, Marty!
Watch out!
Two shots. He's got a revolver that holds 6. 4 to go. Let's see now.
Here's something, Rocky. Super rocket ship.
Fine. Let's try this on. Ready? Go.
Fortune, are you crazy? I'm going to get you.
3 and 2 are 5. One more. What's in that box?
It's an atomic blaster. Turn your space cadet side.
Why not? Let's try it.
I hear you, Fortune. I hear you now.
Try this, Clint.
You missed, Marty. That's pretty bad shooting.
Maybe, Pump, but this ain't gonna be.
Those things gotta be loaded before you can shoot them, Marty, remember?
You dirty...
There's something else for Christmas. My gift to Santa's helper was a Louisville slugger right on top of the noggin. And just as he went out, the lights went on. And suddenly the place was crawling with humanity.
Rocky, Gail, are you all right?
We're fine, baby. Well, look who's here, late as usual.
No wisecracks. Is this the missing kid lady?
Yes, officer, thank you.
Who's the stiff?
This is the bum who killed Santa Claus.
Boy, you should have seen Rocky beat him with that bat.
By the way, Gail, where's the stuff that was inside the doll?
You mean the pretty marbles? I thought they came inside the doll, Rocky. It was a sort of surprise.
Some surprise. Do you have them?
I think so. In my pocket someplace. Oh, here they are.
Sergeant?
Huh?
Here you are, sir. Just in case you ain't got all your marbles.
Marbles? Hey, those are the pearls that were heisted last week.
He's got a magnificent mind, this Sergeant Finger, doesn't he? Gail, I'm sorry about the doll, honey, but unless I'm mistaken, you got about $1,000 reward coming for this stuff.
$1,000? Rocky, it's too good to be true. I must be dreaming.
Want me to pinch you?
Couldn't you just kiss me instead?
Why not? Yeah. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included Ted Von Eltz, Mary McGovern, Kay Stewart, Frank Gerstle, Jim Nusser, Barney Phillips, Bill Justine. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Andrew C. Love directed. And now, to tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Next week, I managed to get involved in a fixed fight. Some gamblers want me to stay down for the long count, from here to eternity. Tune in and I'll tell you all about it. Till then, I'll see you around.
Visit with Fibber McGee and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Welcome to the holiday season.
Mid Valley.
With Detectives for Christmas.
Mutations.
Featuring the voice work of Vincent Price and Frank Sinatra. That's right, and you just heard an episode of Rocky Fortune from December 22nd, 1953. That was the plot to murder Santa Claus. An old-time radio classic brought to you as part of our Detectives for Christmas program. Stay tuned. We've got a couple more of these that we're doing, trying to give us a little bit of breathing room at the end of the year as we catch up with all the things we've been working on. So next week, we have The Shadow. That's right, two classic Shadow broadcasts of a holiday nature. And then we're going to give you some weird Christmas on the 23rd. That's right, some odd, strange Christmas stories from old-time radio long since past. That's right. It should be a lot of fun. Sorry, technical note, the Jeremy Haidt collaboration with the author Jeremy Haidt is going to have to wait until 2017. It deserves more attention than I'm able to give it right now. But there's plenty of Devil's Club programming coming in the coming year. Yes, the first show of 2017, we're going to have Herodas of Devil's Club back in the studio. We're going to do a two-hour new music program. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to, if you liked the last one, you'll like this one. It'll treat you right. I'm positive. And then we're also going to be debuting the Devil's Club album in March when that is ready. All sorts of fun stuff in 2017. Bob Bucko Jr. is going to visit the program when he's on tour. Neat stuff. But I'm getting exhausted. So it's time to just let the holidays kind of be what they are. And, I think the best way to do that is to keep your dial tuned.
Mid-Valley Mutations.
What can I say? It's where all your favorite programs are. You guys are wonderful. You guys are beautiful. And without you, there would be no show. Be seeing you.
KMUZ Turner, 88.5 FM and 100.7 FM in Marion and Polk County, Salem and Kaiser. Taking over the entire planet at KMUZ.org.